Going Linux, Episode 71. Linux Desktops, the Advanced Episode. Welcome to the Going Linux Podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Tom. Going Linux is designed to provide you with practical day-to-day advice on how to use Linux and Linux applications to get things done.
If you are new to Linux, moving to Linux, or just thinking about going Linux, then this is the podcast for you. Each month, we publish 3 episodes. We begin the month with a listener feedback episode. In our feedback episodes, we read listener email, we play listener-generated audio, and we answer listener questions.
And on the third Tuesday of each month, Larry appears live on the Computer America show. We post those shows, without the commercials, as Going Linux episodes. In our user experience episodes, we take generally 2 months to explore a topic related to Linux. During the first month, we introduce the topic for new Linux users and recent converts.
And during month 2, we discuss the same topic from a more advanced perspective for users building their confidence and competence with Linux.
In today's episode, we take a more advanced look into Linux desktops and Windows managers. We hope that you'll find this and all of our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and its applications and using them to get things done.
Well, Tom, you mentioned in the introduction that on the third Tuesday of each month, I appear live on the Computer America radio show, and normally that is true, but this month, the month of July 2009, I will be on the first Tuesday of the month due to a scheduling conflict. So, we'll be back to the third Tuesday of the month beginning next month. And for those of our listeners who listen to us by subscribing to the podcast rather than listening live on the third Tuesday of each month, you'll never notice the difference because it'll come out as a regular podcast episode.
I was just taking a sip of soda and you did that. Okay, that was cool. All right, so we're talking about July 7th, if you want to hear it live.
Yes, if you want to hear it live. And by then, maybe I'll have this episode edited and posted, and it may be tomorrow, because this may come out on the 6th. You never know.
We never know.
Hey, Tom, I am back on Ubuntu 32-bit. If you recall last time we were talking, I had been using 64-bit Ubuntu and was a little concerned that it wasn't doing everything that I needed and had a few niggling problems with Synergy and printers and Audacity and various other things. Well, it turns out that the printer and Synergy issues seem to have been 64-bit issues because they went away as soon as I went back to the 32-bit Ubuntu 9.04. The Audacity issue, which was on the compressor control when it came up in the dialog box, the little controls were sliders that were like 1 pixel wide, so you couldn't really slide them anywhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That problem appears to be an Audacity problem. So it is still annoying me, but hey, it is not bad. I can work around that. That's not a problem. Another thing that I have come across is the most annoying sound in the world.
Your mother-in-law?
Hey.
Sorry.
My mother-in-law. Okay. Anyway, no, the most annoying sound in the world, according to the Ubuntu forums, is the sound of Ubuntu 9.04 shutting down. At least on my computer and many computers of many people, the shutdown beep of the computer, it sounds like it's amplified like 10 times what it would normally be.
It's a double beep, right?
Actually, no. On my computer, it is a solid single beep, a long beep, but extremely loud. Of course, there's no way to turn down the volume unless you mute your computer because it's not coming through the regular sound system. It is the system beep, but it is very loud for some reason. And many computer users have found this problem. Not everybody. It's kind of strange. And in the forums, as I was researching this, they didn't seem to know exactly what the problem was. But here's the fix that fixed it for me. I typed in a command line sudo nano slash etc, so that's slash etc, slash modprobe.d, modprobe dot d, slash blacklist.conf. So you're editing the blacklist.conf file in the modprobe.d subdirectory of the etc directory.
Okay.
And when you edit that file as root, that's what the sudo is for, you add this line, blacklist space PC speaker, and you spell PC speaker, PCSPKR. Save that file, and the problem goes away.
Okay, and I know just what you're talking about. The first time I heard it, I was looking for smoke.
Yes, exactly. It is really loud and annoying.
Yeah, it sounds like, whoa, whoa, terrible problem here. Look, look, look. And what? Nothing. Yeah, you now have a laundry problem.
It was bad. But anyway, that is the solution that worked for me. On the Ubuntu forums, there are a number of other suggestions that may work for you if the cause of your problem is different. But as I said, not everyone has the problem. Not everyone has the same solution to the problem. But this is the one that worked for me.
Cool.
So there you go.
Well, if it's all right, I'll do a short rant. Is it all right?
Rant? Okay. Yeah, good.
Just a tiny one.
Rants are good.
All right. You may remember in our last episodes, Time Warner Cable was going to put a meter and start charging us for every byte that they downloaded. And people went nuts and wrote to their congressman, and there was a huge backlash. And Time Warner said, okay, never mind then.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone predicted, well, they're going to come back and do it anyway. Well, they did.
They did
now, they're not charging yet, but what they've done is alter their terms of service that you must agree to get their service, which can be changed at any time without telling you about it, to say that if they feel like it, if they think that you're using too much bandwidth, they are going to pop you up into the next level, and you won't know about it until you get your next bill.
Oh, how convenient.
Yeah, that's really nice for them. So I hope they have really good luck with that. Not. Okay.
Oh, that's terrible.
I did the nicest rant I could do. That was it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I heard on another podcast about this, actually. And I also heard that if you receive your first bill and it is higher than you expected because you have gone over your bandwidth caps, and it's because they didn't notify you other than the fine print at the bottom of their main web page that you never read anyway because you never go to the web page and they change the terms of service. If you call them and you complain and you ask for a refund, chances are they will give you a refund of the difference. And then this podcast recommended that you find another provider. So
yeah,
vote with your dollars.
Yeah, well, when all of the providers are doing it, you know, everybody else is just sitting back waiting to see how it goes.
Not a good situation. And for our international listeners, maybe this isn't your problem, but
feel free to laugh at us.
Yes, that's true. And I know you may have other problems that may be greater than this, but anyway, we have to live with this
and fight it if possible.
Yeah. So, yeah, I can empathize. Are you with that particular provider, Tom?
I might be.
You might.
Well, we're using Skype right now, and we don't want to get cut out in the middle of making a podcast, do we?
Yeah, that's true. And I might also be a Time Warner customer. So, okay, let's move on.
We're moving on. yeah. That was a good static noise. It fooled me.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah, I went, uh-oh. There goes his cell phone.
I'll leave it in then. Well, joking aside, Tom, it finally, after what seems like forever, we're recording our advanced episode on Linux desktops. Can you believe that?
Yeah, it's been a while, and we apologize to everybody. And I got to admit, from the first, I was wondering what we would talk about on this episode. We covered a lot on the introductory episode, and I thought maybe we could talk about how to set up Compiz special effects, which, by the way, are real cool.
They are.
And then the guys at the Mintcast podcast did a really excellent job about talking about customizing GNOME, and we will put a link to that podcast in the show notes for everybody.
Yeah, I listened to that one as well, and I think they did a super job. We don't really need to be rehashing what they've talked about there, so please do go listen to Mintcast episode 16. They did an excellent job. And the only thing I think that they left out was how to get the control panel they were talking about. At least if they mentioned it, I didn't really hear it. I must have missed it.
Right, and that control panel, I'm looking at it right now, is the Compiz Config Settings Manager.
Right. And if you don't have it on your installation of Ubuntu, you can find it in the Package Manager.
Right.
And actually, more correctly, you can find them in the Package Manager. There are actually two Compiz Settings Managers. There is a simple one and a more full-featured one.
Right, and the full-featured one is just nifty as heck. And
yes,
you can tell if you have it or not by clicking on System and then dropping down to Preferences and look in there, Compiz Config Settings Manager.
Right. And that is that's the full-featured one. And the less full-featured, the more simple one, is called simple.ccsm.
Right.
And that's the package you want to look for there. And the first time I saw the full version of this configuration manager, I was overwhelmed by the number of options that are
there. Oh, right.
But I spent some time, and I figured it all out. And, well, not all of it. I figured out what I needed to know.
Right.
And having said that, for the settings that I like, I can get most of them using just the simple version, but I really like playing around with the more advanced version.
Yeah, it's very KDE-like in that.
Yes, exactly.
There are lots and lots and lots of controls. And the effects that you see on the screen are exactly the same for either version. It's just that the full version of Settings Manager is definitely for the control freak. You have to be careful, though. Some of the settings can work at cross purposes. But the ones I've seen that'll do that will warn you.
With early versions of the Settings Manager, if you selected incompatible or conflicting effects, you could crash your computer seriously. But in more recent versions, they have actually designed in warnings and an easy way to disable incompatible settings between effects.
Right. You don't have that problem with the simple Settings Manager, so we recommend that for the beginner who is a little cautious. But for the more adventuresome, go for it.
And another caution, though, depending on your graphics processor and your display driver, your computer may not have enough horsepower to handle these advanced effects.
Exactly. It's okay to try them, but if your computer freezes when using Compiz effects, you may need to get a more powerful graphics card or download a proprietary driver or just live without it.
Yes. Well, and on my home laptop, I have been able to run Compiz without a proprietary driver, even though it has an Intel graphics card. Sometimes the Intel cards are not capable of handling the 3D effects. On my work computer, a ThinkPad T60, I needed the proprietary ATI driver when I ran Ubuntu 8.10, but since upgrading to 9.05, the driver installed with this latest version of Ubuntu lets me use all but the transparency effects without a proprietary driver.
And my laptop that I have now has an NVIDIA card, very nice, very fast, and I can use all the Compiz Fusion stuff on it. However, the old tower that I was using before, if I tried to turn on any kind of desktop effects, it just popped up a little warning box that said, "Get real, loser." We are not even going to try this.
Well, and another thing you can do with the Linux desktop is to use multiple desktops.
Yeah, and you can have several desktops and switch between them using the Control-Alt-Arrow key. Or even cooler, the super arrow key. If you have Compiz, that does really neat things.
Right.
Most distributions using GNOME and KDE come preset with 2 or 4 desktops, but you can choose anywhere from 1 to 225. And if you choose 225, you are freaking nuts, because you will never find where you were before.
Yeah, that's a lot of desktops to sift through. But if you're really that hardcore, go for it.
Go for it.
Yeah, hey, that's not something you can do with Windows unless you install one of Microsoft's Power Toys. They actually have one that does something similar. It adds a switcher to the taskbar that gives you exactly 4 desktops. No more, no fewer, no choices, and no settings. Well, few settings. The one good thing is for each desktop, you can actually have different wallpaper. But other than that, you only have 4, and that's it.
Is it free?
Yes, it is. It's a free download from the Microsoft site.
That's really nice of them. And Windows users might wonder why you would ever want to have more than one desktop, but once you've used a multi-desktop machine, believe me, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it.
Yeah. In fact, Bob from Australia mentioned that he has Thunderbird and Firefox on the first window, Abbey Word on the second, Dolphin on the third, and a Terminal on the fourth, and that's the way he likes to use those 4 desktops.
That's one way to use multiple desktops, but another is to use multiple monitors. Have you ever tried that feature?
Oh, all the time. I'm using a laptop, and so I have an external monitor that I connect and just change the display settings. In GNOME, you choose System, Preferences, Display. Then you can mirror your laptop screen onto that external monitor so they're both displaying the same thing, or you can extend your desktop so that you can use each screen as a separate desktop.
So mirroring your screen makes both monitors show the same thing?
Right. In the display settings, you check the Mirror Screens box, click on the graphic of your second display, then choose to enable the display. This is great at work when I'm giving a presentation or projecting my screen using an LCD projector.
So what do you have to do to use the extended desktop settings?
Well, the only difference is that you don't check the Mirror Screens box. When you enable the second screen, you'll notice that you can change the screen's resolution so that the external monitor is different from the laptop's settings if you want. For example, my laptop's native screen resolution is 1366 by 768. My external monitor's native resolution is 1280 by 1024, so I just set each screen to those resolutions and I can get maximum performance out of each screen. You can also drag the graphic of one of the displays so that it is above, below, or to the left or the right of the other one. Then you can drag your Firefox window, or any other window really, from one monitor to the other like magic.
Well, I read somewhere that this dual head feature didn't work well with earlier versions of Linux, so I really haven't tried it. I do have 2 monitors now, the one built into my laptop and my external, so I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah, until Ubuntu 8.10 came out, I was only able to get the dual head or extended desktop settings to work manually by editing the xorg.conf file. That's the file that controls your display settings. With 8.10 and 9.04 of Ubuntu, it's worked right out of the box without manually editing the configuration files at all. I don't know whether KDE 4's settings are as easy as GNOME's, but kudos to the GNOME team, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's great work. Well, this has been a short podcast. We planned it that way, and we've covered more than I expected we would. We are going to put a whole bunch of links on the website for you, and there's still more that we could have covered, but you can just go ahead and read about it. If you'd like to read more about some advanced things you can do on the Linux desktop, check out the Articles tab on our website. Some examples of what you'll find. Changing your mouse behavior. Creating applications icons on your KDE desktop. Create KDE desktop URL links from Firefox. Create system icons on the Linux desktop. Display your computer's hardware specifications. Folder or directory, which is correct. Potato, potato.
Yeah.
Make over the Ubuntu GNOME desktop. Save your documents where you want them. Tabbed browsing. And finally, using a dialog box to open an application or URL.
Yep, we'll have links to all of those on our show notes, of course, and they're all available as articles on the Going Linux Articles tab on our website. Some of them are fairly old, going back as far as 2006, but you'll find them very useful, the KDE ones, especially if you're still using KDE 3 or 3.5, and many of them are applicable regardless of which desktop you're using.
Sure. So I have a software pick, and thanks to AJ for this one.
Ah.
It's called Dropbox, and I don't know if it's open source, but it is available for Ubuntu.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what it does. You get in your home folder a bright, shiny new folder called Dropbox. And inside that folder is another folder or directory called public. Any file that you drop into that folder, that public folder, instantly starts uploading to a server for free. So you are hosted out in the cloud somewhere, and it's kind of hard to explain, but if you go into that directory and right click on a file that's in that directory, and then scroll down to Dropbox, you can click on copy URL. And that will copy the location onto your clipboard. Then you go to your file browser, drop it in your file browser, and the file will download. Or you can send that link to a friend, and the friend can very, very quickly download the file.
So where can somebody find Dropbox, Tom?
They can go to getdropbox.com. And probably not open source, but still very cool.
Well, and interestingly, you mentioned not open source, possibly. I was recently reading an article on Linux Magazine Online, and I found out that Ubuntu has a service called Ubuntu One. And this article is from May 12th, 2009, and it's a cloud-based service from Ubuntu that is a clone of or a competitor of Dropbox.
No kidding.
Yeah, Canonical has it in beta right now, and it looks like it's $10 a month for 10 gigabytes, at least according to the article on Linux Magazine. Or if you're satisfied with 2 gigabytes, you can get it for free. Yeah, I don't know for sure whether this is open source or proprietary, but Canonical is making it available, and I'll include a link to that article in the show notes.
Okay, everybody, just forget about my software pick because I'm going to go use the Canonical one. Dropbox is also 2 gigabytes for free, and then you start paying after that.
Okay.
But 2 gigabytes of free space out on the internet.
Not bad. All right, well, my software pick is something that, Tom, you and I are going to be trying out just after this podcast. It's something called Yugma. Does that mean anything to you?
It sounded like you had some bad fish and it's coming back.
Nope. What Yugma is a service that allows you to share your desktop with other people. You've heard the commercials for GoToMeeting ad nauseum on other podcasts. And these podcasts are Windows-based podcasts or Mac-based podcasts because GoToMeeting only works with Windows and Mac. And the GoToMeeting folks have on their website something that they say is in development for Linux, and as far as I know, it's been in development forever, and they have yet to deliver on that. So, as part of my evaluation for our company at work. I've been experimenting with various alternatives to GoToMeeting, and I have found one that is compatible with not only Macintosh and Windows, but guess what?
Come on.
Linux.
Get yes, out of here.
And that is Yugma. Yugma is a service that installs a little application on your Linux or Windows or Mac desktop that allows you to share your desktop with other people. Now, it's not free, but you do have a free trial period. And I have downloaded it, and it is very, very good. It allows you to share the desktop. It allows you to, if you're doing presentations, to present your, you know, make your presentation, but also to turn over presentation capability to someone who is in your audience. So you can actually have someone else become the presenter, if you will. There are a number of collaboration services like that out there. Some of them don't have the share presenter abilities. And Yugma, I am quite pleased to say, is something that works in a very similar way to what GoToMeeting does, except that they have been able to make it compatible with Linux as well. So a very good service. It is available at www.yugma.com. You do need the www in front of it. Yugma.com doesn't take you anywhere. And even more interestingly, they have a Skype plugin for Yugma,
ooh,
which I haven't tried, but that would be interesting. They have a toll-free service that you can have a your attendees call free of charge if you want. Or you can just make a phone call or use a phone conference service along with this desktop sharing application. So, interestingly, Yugma is a very, very attractive alternative to GoToMeeting. And their pricing is extremely reasonable as well, a fraction of what you would pay for GoToMeeting, and with a bonus of being available for Linux as well.
Now, does everyone who's involved in a presentation or a meeting have to buy the service, or just one person?
Just the person making the presentation, hosting the meeting, needs to make the purchase. And for, what is it, $14.95 a month, you can have up to 20 users, and then the price goes up to $179.95 a month for Yugma Pro, which allows you to have up to 500 people you'd be presenting to on over the web, which
500 of your closest friends, of course.
Yeah, of course. And even at those prices, for someone who's been using Linux forever and not paying for software, it sounds awfully expensive. But if you've never checked it out, go to the GoToMeeting website and find out how much more their prices are. This is a fraction of the price of the GoToMeeting service, and it looks like it's every bit as good. And in the trial that I've been running, it's been outperforming the service we use today at work, which is not GoToMeeting, but something else. And it's been excellent. So, and that's my software pick.
Okay, sounds great, and I will be checking that out. And by the way, Yugma, you just got a free advertisement on a very, very popular podcast.
Yes, we are the number one Linux podcast on Podcast Alley.
So what's coming up, Larry?
And what is coming up? Well, in our next episode, normally it would have been our listener feedback episode, but because we have an early Computer America, it will be the Computer America episode. So until then, you can go to the articles and show notes at goinglinux.com for more information and detailed instructions with screenshots, of course. Please email us with your comments, questions, and suggestions. And remember, if you have a topic suggestion, use the Podcast Alley button to leave your topic suggestion there on Podcast Alley while you vote for us on their site. We appreciate those votes.
And send us your audio comment by email, and we'll play it right on the show. That email address is goinglinux@gmail.com. And you can also follow us on Twitter, and our handle is goinglinux.
You can download our episodes from our website, of course. You can use the Flash Player right there on the website to play them. You'll find it right there on the show notes page.
You can also get future episodes delivered directly to your computer, automatically, fresh and hot, as soon as a new episode is available. For instructions on how to subscribe to a podcast, go to subscribe.goinglinux.com.
Until next time, thanks for listening.
Talk to you later.
Theme music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.